Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I want to welcome you for another great episode of our radio show. Now, if you are a business creator, you are in the right place. And our business creators tend to fall into one of four different categories. They can be entrepreneurs, small business owners, and local business owners, marketing and business coaches, folks who help others build their businesses, such as designers, strategists, and assistants, and the do-it-yourselfers who love to keep your own hands on the marketing levers and run your own business. If you are one or more of the above, explore our episodes and discover how our guest experts can help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, be sure to check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every week, our feed is updated, and make sure that you give us a 5-star rating, because every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us spread the word to help more business creators just like you. So for today, we have a very interesting topic. Those who have been following the Business Creators Radio Show recently have noticed we've had a trend, a lot of recent episodes on social media, because social media is so important for our businesses, but yet at the same time, it tends to be neglected and not properly managed. Unbelievable, because there's so much education out there today, but it's true. So many business creators are failing to properly leverage social media. And if you are doing this in any way, we feel that today's guest expert is going to share some great tips and some great strategies to help you blast past that and start doing it the right way. And since this is one of my favorite topics, I'm very excited about this. So our guest today is Garen Kilpatrick. And let me just tell you a little bit about Garen. He's an internet business developer specializing in social media marketing and marketing strategy. He spent the last several years producing exceptional digital content and has managed to get millions of visitors to his websites from a synergy of search engine traffic and social media. We hear so much about using social media to, quote-unquote, drive traffic to your website, or, as I like to say, get visitors to your webpage. And he has mastered this in a way that many others wish they could. So you really want to listen to Garen. He's going to give you some great stuff. His first successful social media blog was acquired after gaining the number one spots in Google for Facebook tips and get more Facebook likes. And since Facebook Flow, he's launched FB Power, which is an amazing Facebook marketing system that teaches students powerful Facebook marketing strategies. The skills and strategies that Garen is going to bring to the table today will help you get more traffic, visitors, leads, and sales so you can rapidly grow your business. And Garen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
The pleasure and the honor are entirely mine. Now, before we dive in, because I know you're going to give us a lot of specifics today, and some of this is stuff that really intrigues me as well, what I'd like to do is just take a step back for those of our listeners who haven't really heard of you or don't know much about you, to give them a chance to know you. So if you could just tell us a little bit about what brought you to where you are today, helping business creators use social media to get more traffic, leads, and sales.
Absolutely. I was just really inspired by the whole social media revolution, specifically Mark Zuckerberg and just kind of the way he did things. And my cousin actually works out of San Francisco, and he ended up linking me while I was in university, linking me up with a great opportunity with a startup out of there called Edgify.com. And that kind of got my feet wet in the whole, in the whole startup scene. And then from there, I branched off, started FacebookFlow.com, which is now it is completely a different brand and it was acquired and everything else. But I've just stuck with it ever since. It's a real passion of mine. And I guess that's how I got started and just been going strong ever since.
Yeah, sometimes the simplest is the best. And sometimes we find the inspiration in things that are common to many people. And sometimes we find it in people very close to us. So I really like, in your very brief story there, the way you brought a lot of different threads together. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of that as we go through our next 50-some minutes together here. So this is fantastic. Now, Garen, folks on the Business Creators Radio Show, people who listen to us know that we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. And a lot of our listeners tell me they have everything they need to implement any strategy that any guest expert provides, except for time and money. Now, this is a question we ask every expert who appears on our show, not only because we like the variety of answers, but also because we like the variety of interpretations to the question. So let me ask you, how does this apply to getting more traffic, visitors, and fans through social media?
Well, you can have all the money in the world, but ultimately, I don't think you should outsource your social media, because there's only one person that's going to have the most, have an authentic voice, and that's you. So I do think that everyone should manage their own social media marketing. And then use that money to gain extra exposure. So you can do things like buy Facebook ads or buy a training program that's going to show you how to leverage things like Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, et cetera, to really scale your brand. But I understand that everyone's time is limited, but I still think it's important to emphasize that there's really one person that can do your social media marketing best, and that's you.
Okay, this is in some ways counterintuitive, because in all the talk we hear in entrepreneurship and business creation about leveraging your business and working on your business instead of in your business, one of the first things they recommend you do is find somebody to handle your social media for you. And this is something that tends to draw a lot of people. I get questions almost every day. Who do you know that can run my Facebook for me? Who do you know that can handle my Twitter? And what you're saying, if I heard you correctly, is that that may not be the best approach, that we should be thinking about how do we handle our own Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google Plus, and find other people to help us with other things. Did I hear you right?
Well, I'm not saying that other people can't help out with that. Definitely when it comes to content creation, there's lots of time needed there, and business owners don't necessarily have the time to do all that content creation. However, when a business owner reaches out in response to someone personally, that's really going to amp up the trust more so than having any other person manage that social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. So I think transparency is key. So if it is someone else, make sure that you use like a co-tag, which is just like that little upward arrow, and then initials.
Yeah.
Just let people know who they're talking with. They're not just talking with some anonymous brand.
Right. I think that's very important for companies that have multiple staff members who are managing the Twitter account or managing the Google Plus account or what have you. And basically, what Garen said is just do Shift F6. That's the code, Shift F6.
There we go.
It's that little upward arrow that points above the 6 key, and then have them do their initials. We see this a lot with web hosting companies especially, where they'll have a team of 3 or 4 people so that they man the Twitter account around the clock, because you know how it is with web hosting companies. Web hosting can go down any time of day. A dog attack can happen any time of day. And if somebody happens to be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and their site's down, and the reason they're up is because they're in the middle of their product launch and their JV partners are calling them saying, hey, I just interrupted my marketing for you and your site's down. Anything you can do to help on this? Yeah, you're going to want some pretty fast updates. And you're going to kind of
and you're going to want to know who you're talking to as well.
Yeah, you want to know who you're speaking with. And I can see how just using those initials can help give us, you know, just a sense we're dealing with somebody.
Exactly,
personal.
On Twitter, so, yeah. And then make sure that on your either in your bio or on your background, you ideally have pictures of the people that you're talking with, so that's even more transparency. They know who they're talking with and they know what they look like.
Oh, that's really great. So if you have like a team page or an about or a staff page on your website, like let's say you have somebody named GK who does some Twitter. Let's say you have somebody named AH who handles some of the stuff on Twitter, that they go to your website and they can find a GK and an AH and they can say, oh,
perfect.
I know who I'm speaking with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
was such a great concept that my cat, who is sitting on her perch right next to me here in my office, purred. That's a good girl. Stella.
That's a good sign.
One of the benefits of being a business creator, running your own business, is that every day is bring your cat to work day. That's one of the fringe benefits.
That's a perk, for sure. I've got two dogs here, so I can relate.
Oh, yeah. What kind of dogs do you have?
Doberman and a Rottweiler.
Oh, nice. When I was growing up, my grandparents had a Doberman. Her name was Raven. She was the sweetest dog ever. She would greet you like a friend at the door. As soon as she sat down, she'd sit down and extend the paw without even being told to sit and shake. The only problem is she wouldn't let you leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When it was time to leave, somebody had to distract Raven, and you had to get to the door as quickly as possible before she caught on, because she was also a very wise dog and came chasing after you.
Oh, yeah. Cold, yeah. Similar. Like, if you leave him alone for a few seconds, you'll start whining. It gets annoying, but he's still a good dog.
Exactly. And I've seen Rottweilers too as well. Those are both some very awesome dogs. So we're talking a little about Twitter here, and I think that'd be a great place for us to transition into some of what you're going to share with us today. Is let's talk about Twitter, because we're going to talk about Twitter. We're going to cover Facebook. We're going to touch on LinkedIn. We're going to talk a little bit about Google and YouTube. And YouTube is one of my favorite topics as well, which is another reason why I'm so happy to have you here. So in terms of managing your Twitter and getting the most out of your Twitter marketing, what are some of the best tools to use?
Okay, well, definitely I recommend using a tool like Hootsuite, mm-hmm. which is free for up to 5 accounts. And then this way you can schedule your posts ahead of time. So you can kind of manage, you can on a Monday morning or something like that, you can plan out your posts for the week and make sure that you've got content going out every single day. I use that to manage my Twitter profiles. I've got the pro, so I've got a bunch of different accounts in there, and then my Facebook pages as well. So that's a definite tool to check out for Twitter. Another one is called Social Bro, and that's great for just examining your network. So they say the optimal time to tweet on is about 5 o'clock, but ultimately everyone on Twitter has a different network. So Social Bro will analyze your network and create a heat map based on your followers, and kind of give you some insights from that on when the best times to tweet are, for example. But one thing that I should mention is that Twitter is a place where it's so noisy. If you want to really cut through the noise, volume is becoming more and more of a factor these days. So
right.
On Facebook, you wouldn't want to post 10, 20 times a day on Twitter. You pretty much have to do that if you really want to get noticed these days. So there is a difference there. And I definitely don't recommend feeding in so you can connect Twitter to Facebook so that all of your updates are brought in automatically. I don't recommend that strategy because the mentions and things like that just aren't relevant to the Facebook
right.
audience. But yeah, definitely Hootsuite's a good one. Another one worth checking out is BufferApp.com. So with BufferApp, it's just for scheduling posts automatically, but you don't have to specify a time. So it'll automatically pick out kind of the best times and just buffer the tweets. Those are three quick ones that I would recommend checking out. I don't want to overwhelm people, but I do have a blog called twittertoolsbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth checking out if any of your listeners want to find out more about Twitter tools and Twitter tips.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, and thank you for sharing that resource. And now let's bring out the drum roll and ask the biggest question that people have about Twitters. You already
okay.
know that this is coming. How do we get more Twitter followers?
Okay. I could go on and on about this, but rather than doing that, I do have a post worth checking out on twittertoolsbook.com, but I will definitely say that the number one thing, the way I got my first 60,000 was by taking time every single night and just initiating connections like mad. So you don't want to overdo it because Twitter does have follow limits, but you want to just really zero in on your target audience and then just rapidly follow a bunch of people.
Right.
So you're looking for those reciprocal connections. And then there's a tool called ManageTwitter.com. The actual name is called ManageFlitter, but if you go to ManageTwitter.com, it'll redirect you.
Okay.
And what that does is shows you everyone that doesn't, that hasn't reciprocated, so you can easily just, so basically you want to initiate hundreds or even a couple thousand targeted connections over time, over a couple weeks, and then give them a little bit of time to reciprocate, and then use a tool like Manage Twitter to go in and see everyone that hasn't reciprocated so that you can unfollow them, make more room to create more connections.
And that's called ManageTwitter.com.
ManageTwitter.com is a great it's free. It's freemium, but I think it's still pretty much full-featured
right.
With the freemium. But worth checking out for sure. And then, once you get to the point of critical mass where you've got a good follower base, and you can use your content a lot more, because every time you get retweets, you tend to, depending on who retweets you, you'll probably pick up some followers each time. So you can focus more on the content end of it, and putting out exceptional content is definitely a great way to get more followers. And even when it comes down to, getting those people to reciprocate, you want to, so if you're going after people in the marketing space, for example, you want to make sure that in your bio you mention that you're a marketer, that you're interested in marketing, and then have content that will that they'll find useful and valuable.
Yeah, these are all great tips.
Yeah, I've got an article with 75 of them on the blog, but those are the three most important that I think really stand out to me are content, initiating connections, and then if you can use the tools as well, that's a big help.
Right. I think that's really great, because another question that frequently comes up from the technical side from our listeners is, what do we do when we hit our Twitter limits? Because, you know, generally speaking, when you create a Twitter account, unless you manage to accomplish something special, the maximum amount of Twitter followers you can have is, what, is it 2,000 these days?
It's 2,000. You have to have 2,000 followers. So that's where a tool like
Manage
Twitter comes in handy.
Or rather, you can follow 2,000, but I think you can have as many followers as you want, but you can only follow 2,000.
Yeah, you can only follow 2,000 until you have 2,000 followers. Then that limit increases.
Then the limit increases. Okay, so yeah, so that's very important. You know, we got in that situation with one of our Twitter accounts once, where we very quickly just followed a bunch of people until we got it up to 2,000, and then we kind of hit a wall and couldn't go any further. And we used tools to just start paring it away. We couldn't do it immediately. We had to give people a chance to blow us off. But once we figured out who wasn't following back and who didn't have real profiles or what have you, then we were able to use a tool like that, and we very quickly got it back so we could start following quality people again.
Yeah, one of the nice things about ManageTwitter.com, or ManageFlitter, I should say, is it'll sort the people who haven't reciprocated, and a lot of them just haven't reciprocated because they haven't been active. So it'll show you all the people who haven't tweeted in 30 days, for example. It just doesn't make sense. If someone hasn't tweeted in 30 days, it really doesn't make sense to follow them. They haven't got anything to say. So
right.
So it's handy in that way.
Right. I think yeah, there's a lot to that, because if somebody hasn't been on Twitter in 30 days, I mean, we're talking about you need to be posting to Twitter 20 times a day just to make an impact. And I know when I log into Twitter.
Definitely at least once a day, but the more the merrier.
Yeah, when I log into Twitter, I mean, that my feed moves while I'm just sitting there. It's like, how do you stand out in that mess? And I can just vision my Twitter account right now, and I'm seeing a few names pop up, and I imagine the reason is because every single time I log in, I see them. That can't be because they just happen to be knowing when I log in. It has to be because they're always posting, and I think that's fantastic. Now, with Twitter...
Well, some people use automation tools as well to post automatically every so often. So one is socialoomph.com, and some people do tend to go a little bit overboard with that, but then there are guys like Jeff Bullis, and he's a guy in the social media space as well. He's tweeted over 50,000 times. But because he's tweeted so much, he's got that exposure for himself, and now everything he tweets gets dozens of retweets. You know, now I'm not comfortable with tweeting every 5 minutes, but it's working for him.
Right, you'd have to either have a lot to say or do a lot of repeating to be able to tweet every 5 minutes. Now, do you mean
it does make sense to do some repeating, because only a small fraction of your network will see every tweet?
Right,
something like 6%. So definitely, I'll repeat the same tweets a few times if it's good content. But again, I don't want to be tweeting the same thing 50 times, you know, or 50 times a day.
I understand. But, so this guy tweets every 5 minutes, 24 hours a day,
yeah,
7 days a week.
Pretty much every 5-10 minutes, 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And it's working great for him. He's over 50,000 tweets at this point, and every one of them does well.
Well, you know that.
Now he has got content. He does have his content. The quality is really high on his blog, so that helps him for sure. But a lot of it's to be said for volume as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I see an exponential effect there. Because he does so much, he gets exponentially more results. Now, what's the name of that tool you mentioned a moment ago?
That's Social Oomph.
Spell that for
Social
please?
OOMPH.
Oh,
and I think,
okay.
And I think, again, it's a freemium model. You probably have to pay to get that many tweets, but for anyone that has a WordPress blog out there, there's a plugin called Evergreen Post Tweeter, which is free.
Okay.
And using that, you can set a date frame, so you can say all posts in the last year.
Okay.
And then you can specify on which days you want them to send and at what times, and that'll do the same sort of thing. Just get that content out and cycle through.
Oh, that's
so if you only want to send out one or two or three posts a day, then that would be a great tool to use.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And then, there are a lot of blogs out there that have great content on it, and it just happens to be a year old. And since we're always looking to create new content, a lot of gems get lost. We see this a lot with content marketing, and this happens to me sometimes. I'll write a fantastic, in my opinion, article. And I'll get ready to publish it.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, not only have I covered that topic already, but somehow I managed to write almost the identical article 2 years ago, and I forgot I'd done so.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, seeing the old content in your stream does help help you keep it in the top of your mind. But I would recommend looking into that Evergreen Post Tweeter plugin for WordPress, because I use it for a few of my different accounts, even my personal accounts, and it works great.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. We may feature it in one of our upcoming Tuesday technology tips, which are little videos we send to our list every week that show our listeners and our followers how to spend less time editing and maintaining and more time educating and monetizing. So that's great. Now,
excellent. Yeah, automation's great.
Right. Now, we're about a third of the way through here, and I think this is a great time for us to zip over to Facebook. And
perfect.
I know a lot of our people are very interested in this because we hear so much about how it seems to be impossible to get likes and engagement on fan pages. And even I'm struggling with that to a certain degree. And there are various theories out there in terms of why that could happen. One of the theories I hear is that people would have launched what are known as like campaigns, where they paid for advertising to get likes. And due to the quality of some of those likes, it kind of threw off the algorithm. So you got a lot of likes from people who never really planned to engage, never did engage, and then it makes your numbers lower, which causes your post to kind of disappear. I've heard that theory. I've also heard that basically it just comes down to who has money and is willing to pay. So how do we get more likes on Facebook? How do we get more leads? How do we get more engagement? What do we need to do to make Facebook a valuable exercise, particularly when it comes to the fan pages and the business pages, which seem so forlorn these days?
Okay, well, there are a few things that you can do. Number one is definitely, if you have a website, make sure you've got a like box on there. I noticed that you have this implemented, which is a great strategy.
Yes.
Because for a lot of my brands, I find that's the number one source of new likes, is having that like box there. So that's great. However, I have noticed some difficulties when using Google Chrome that I think because Google's fighting Facebook on so many fronts that they're causing conflicts with the like button, but nonetheless, I still think it's a lot of people use IE and Firefox, so it's definitely still worth implementing that strategy. The next one is to make sure that on your Facebook page, you're capturing leads, and then use the autoresponder to follow up. And once you've got that lead, just make sure that you remind them in the first autoresponder email that, hey, just make sure to like our page if you haven't already.
Right.
Beyond that, now Facebook, one thing it used to be able to do is use a fan gate. So basically use bait to get people to like the page or an incentive. But Facebook's actually doing away with that. I forget when the final date is, but basically a page can be shut down after, I think it's sometime next month if you're using that strategy.
Right.
So that's not one that I would recommend, but definitely offering things of high value. And even if you're not offering it in exchange for the like, just having it there for people to download,
right,
it's going to make you a more likable brand. It's going to get people to click that like button more often.
I see what you mean.
Probably the most powerful viral feature of Facebook is tagging. So if you ever do a live event or something where you could tag your fans or just tag other people on Facebook, that's going to generate a lot of viral exposure because that'll automatically share that post to that person's wall. So that's definitely a powerful strategy still.
Right.
So those are the ones off the top of my head. Any other questions? Because you mentioned three different things, likes, leads, and engagement.
Likes, leads, and engagement, yes. Big challenge people were facing is they were posting to their Facebook fan pages. They were getting all kinds of likes and comments. And then something happened about a year ago, and all that evaporated.
Yeah, see, Facebook's trying to get people to use advertising more often, so I think they tweaked their EdgeRank algorithm.
Right.
So that posts that used to get a lot more engagement now won't, that they're trying to force people to use the Boost Post feature.
Right.
So don't necessarily be discouraged if you're not getting huge likes on all of your posts. You still can. Definitely use highly visual content. So rather than posting just text content all the time, get into the visual content. So this is actually, I just started a new business to help people with this called stayinspired-365.com, and it's just all about inspirational quotes and things like that so that people have the visual content ready to go. But just any photos and any graphics, the more you can integrate visuals into your posts, the better engagement you're going to get. And then if you do have budget for it, Facebook advertising is a very powerful platform, especially if you have things like an email list. You can target that email list, and those people are going to be the best ones to respond.
Right.
So you can promote a post to just your email subscribers, for example.
Okay.
And that way, Facebook, because you'll have a high click-through rate on that, Facebook will lower your cost per click. So that's one way you can kind of get around it. You still have to pay, though.
Right, right. So
that strategy.
So this is the thing where we're taking people who have already properly opted into our list and uploading them to Facebook and telling Facebook, find these accounts and target these accounts.
That's right. And you have to use the Facebook Ads Power Editor
right.
to do that.
Okay.
It's not within the standard Facebook Ads Editor, but it's worth diving into that tool to use that feature because, you know, that's the best way to – and if you're promoting a product or a service or anything like that, those – you want to really target the most relevant audience, and there's I can't think of much more relevant audience than one that you've grown, one that's already familiar with you, and that would be the email list.
Yeah, yeah. A theme that we hear over and over again, and this really has not changed over the past several years, is we can be on as many social media platforms as we want to. We can have as many websites as we want to. And in the end, it really comes down to the size and quality of your list. And there are various theories
Absolutely.
As to whether or not size matters more or quality matters more. I think it's a balance between the two, and I think that balance changes just depending on where your mm-hmm. business is and what you're really looking to target. And you know, other factors such as the size of your offer, the price of your offer, because, I mean, you're not going to go to a mass market with something that's going to cost $20,000. You're just not going to get the sale. So in that case, definitely quality comes
mm-hmm.
first. Now, if you're moving a $7 ebook, then quantity is where you're going to make your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
There, I mean, those are just some of the obvious
yeah.
examples.
You're going to have a hard time surviving with a $7 ebook, but
yeah,
I see where you're coming from with that point.
True, absolutely, absolutely. So what about LinkedIn? Very often in the social media conversation, we hear the experts chant Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and sometimes they'll throw in one of those other networks that lets you take pictures.
Pinterest.
But LinkedIn is the one that we just don't hear enough about, which astounds me.
I totally agree.
Because if you're a business creator and you're an entrepreneur and you're looking to use social media to grow your business and you want to know where the buyers are and you want to know where the customers are, people go to
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn to do business. It just
yeah, absolutely.
Me.
LinkedIn's the only social network where you can export the emails of your contacts. So it just makes good business sense to build a network there. And there's so many powerful features of LinkedIn that make it worthwhile. One that I'm sure you're aware of, because I noticed you have a LinkedIn group, is that you can get free email marketing through LinkedIn groups. Now, a lot of my I actually have a product about LinkedIn called Rapid LinkedIn Results. Shameless plug right there. But
mm-hmm.
but one of the main things that I reveal is just this, which is that with a LinkedIn group, you can gain critical mass by importing your contacts. So you can start off by exporting your LinkedIn contacts. Take that contact list and then import it into a LinkedIn group. Get your first few hundred members, or depending on the size of your network, even more. And then you can contact all of those people using the messaging feature of LinkedIn groups. So if you have an email marketing provider, like AOL or something like that, you'll know that they're not cheap. It's one of the number one expenses in my business is my email marketing.
Yes.
But I can still contact thousands of people through my LinkedIn group for free. Now, I can't
That's
do that
true.
Every day. I think they make you wait 5 days before you can mail again.
It might be 5 days or it might be 7 days. I can't remember
5 or 7 days.
What it is. That is something that we use fairly regularly. And the thing is it measures how long it's been. So if you try and do it 1 minute before it's time again, it'll say you have to wait 1 minute. They really restrict that.
Yeah, but I've
that.
Yeah,
that's
only downside.
Yeah, but to
still.
Your point, that's very high quality. And for our Gmail users out there, and we have many, many, many Gmail users, which is why we do so many technology tips on Gmail. For those of you who are using the tabs, primary, promotions,
mm-hmm.
social,
and social,
the broadcasts from the LinkedIn tab, the broadcasts from the LinkedIn discussion groups don't go to the promotions tab. They go to the social,
go to the social tab.
Even for
that's
the
right.
folks who use the promotions tab, just so they can know who they need to unsubscribe from, they're probably not going to take the social tab seriously because people want to be social.
more seriously than the promo tab. Like, the promo tab, it's like, oh, what's this guy trying to sell me? Social tab, it's like, oh, my Facebook stuff, my this, my that, my LinkedIn. And it's just, it's definitely better than the promo tab. Ideally, you want to get in the primary tab. So that's what you can do with your email marketing if you get enough opens. But that's still a challenge. And social is a good place to be.
Right. I mean, it certainly does beat the alternative. That's very true. And the thing is, it's another system where you can send broadcasts that's right in front of you. Now, of course, that's dependent on whether or not folks in LinkedIn have their digest settings set that they receive your group updates. But the thing is...
Yeah, they can turn that off, but by default... And sorry to interject there, but another great viral feature, and this is... I've been able to just grow fans organically. You want to make sure you have a catchy logo for your group, because another default setting is that when someone joins your group, that group logo is automatically displayed on their profile. And that can be a great way to get new fans into the group over time.
Okay. Great.
So I've really taken time with my tiny little logos and just made sure that they kind of pop out so that when someone does see them on someone else's profile, they want to click and join.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a great one right there. So while we're on the subject of discussion groups, we have discussion groups on Facebook, we have discussion groups on LinkedIn, and this is another one of my favorite topics. In fact, I teach a course on it called Discussion Group Game. I'd like to get your thoughts on something as a fellow social media thought leader here. And one of them is, to what extent do you see discussion groups on places like Facebook and LinkedIn being an effective tool for growing your business, other than extremely?
Oh, that does seem like a great and there's LinkedIn Answers, for example, and what you can do on there is just go in. The more you can go in and actually solve someone's problem, if you can be the person that answers someone's question or solves someone's problem, that establishes you as an expert, and you've already helped this person, so they're predisposed to want to work with you even more. So that's a great way to go. The more you can just get out there and just start yammering about your area of expertise, that's the better.
Yeah, I think that's great. So what are some of your recommended best practices for using the discussion groups to get more customers and more clients for your business? I have some thoughts on this, obviously, and LinkedIn Answers is one of them.
Okay.
But in terms of some of the etiquette things and some of the phraseology, what are some of your thoughts on how to use discussion groups to grow your own business?
Well, personally, I tend to drive people back into my groups and say, like, oh, hey, feel free to check out the Social Media Marketing Mastermind group and ask any social media marketing questions you might have there, because then those people are going to get my almost every week I send out an update, and in there I'll share my latest blog posts and tips and tricks and things like that. To tell you the truth, I could be using discussion groups more.
Right.
I tend to market one-to-many as often as possible rather than one-on-one, but one-on-one is still going to be the most impactful, even if it's not scalable. Like, in terms of building a customer relationship with one person. I haven't used the strategy too much myself, so I can't give you too many concrete examples, but... I just really recommend building up that group, and my best tip for building the group is, like I mentioned earlier, import those contacts.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
So right, absolutely.
I'm not going to try and pretend to be an expert on discussion groups when I haven't really spent that much time in them. I'm all over the place on every major social network, so my time's very limited between that and everything else that I've got going on, but and that's why I like to really I focus a lot on building my email list and building out those groups as much as possible.
Right. One thing that I like about you is you talk really fast. You have get out there very quickly, and I find myself sometimes challenged. I'm going to paraphrase Winston Churchill when he said, "If you need me to give a 2-hour speech, I'm ready to go in 2 minutes. But if you need me to give a 2-minute speech, give me 2 hours."
Oh yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So sometimes it takes, I end up saying a lot because I love to just fire hose my listeners with information, just like you're doing for us now. Great.
Yeah. I've been meaning to launch my own podcast, and maybe once I do, I'll slow down a little bit, but, My podcasting is a bit rusty, so maybe that's why I'm going a mile a minute, but I'll try and slow it down a bit. But yeah, I tend to really just, I've got a lot to say, so I tend to just get it all out there if I can.
Yep. I'm just pointing it out there. So for those of you who are listening, remember, we do have an iTunes podcast. You can go download this and listen to it again. In fact, I encourage you very strongly to do so, so that you make sure that you capture what Garen has to say at a different level.
And give a five-star rating while you're at it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes. No, I will be.
Thanks. That will be much appreciated. Yeah, seriously, make sure you guys do that. We have a great podcast for Business Creators Radio Show. So let's change our direction here for just a moment here. We're about going on 40 minutes into this thing, so we still have some time for you to give us about 5,000 more tips. Let's see how close we can get.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, this is a question that you wanted me to ask you, and you wanted me to ask it to you just this way, and I suspect I'm leaving a door wide open, and we're going to be getting plenty just because I asked this question. Here we go. What's the best way to get to the top of Google?
Okay, that's definitely with a YouTube video.
Okay.
So that's one thing that I found is, so Google owns YouTube, as most people know, and yeah, that's the absolute easiest way to get to the top of Google's with a YouTube video. So even if you go to a highly competitive search term like how to create a website, you'll see that the top videos or the top search results are videos. And on top of that, now Google's been tweaking their algorithm on this, but generally I think this is still the case that there are video preview little blocks as well, which makes that snippet stand out more than just a regular web page would.
Yes.
So it's, yeah. To get to the top of Google is another challenge, but you can basically, you want to use all of your social, you want to get it out there to all the different social media channels and everything like that. So there's so many different factors involved, but ultimately if you're getting the comments, likes, and views, then you're going to shoot up faster than any other regular web page. And the thing that you can do with YouTube videos is you can connect them to your website and then create clickable external links. So if you want to promote a sales page or a landing page or just your website, you can do that with annotations. You just need to follow a few steps and connect your website. So it's from my own personal testing, I've taken now recency is another thing. So it might not stay there forever. Obviously
right.
It won't. Results are changing all the time. And the more recent the content, the more relevant it is in Google's eyes. But yeah, I forget what the search term was. It was how to. It was an SEO related term that I did get to the top of Google. It was like how to get number one in Google or something like this when I was launching my SEO product, my video SEO product, SEOmyvideos.com.
Right.
We did take over the number one spot for how to get to number one in Google, which was kind of cool.
Right.
Unfortunately,
right.
That is searched fairly often, but not as much as you would think, so it didn't get us the traction that we were hoping for. And we did also we also built thousands of links at once for that video, and that boosted us right up. With a standard web page, if you throw that many links at it at once, it'll send off a signal to you like, whoa, this isn't natural linking. But with
right.
YouTube, since there are constantly millions of links being built to YouTube videos, it doesn't send off any red flags to Google. So you can use aggressive link building tactics to get your videos to the top of Google, and it'll be seen as perfectly normal for the most part. But yeah, that's the best way to get to the top of Google these days.
Wow. Yeah, I want to thank you very much for pointing that out, because that's a tactic that we've used many times successfully. You have to think of YouTube as being the number two search engine in the world. Google's number one, and YouTube is number two. And it's kind of funny they have the same owner.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're getting that video to the top of Google, you're also at the top of YouTube. So it's win-win.
Yeah. There are so many folks out there, and I'm one of them. Especially if I need a question answered, a lot of times I'll skip over Google and I'll go right to YouTube. The reason being is because I expect to find a how-to where somebody's going to take me through it step-by-step and show me exactly how.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to just press play than to I would rather watch something than read something, personally.
Right.
And also there's a lot less competition on YouTube. So a lot of people just either don't have the equipment or don't want to, or aren't comfortable behind a mic or whatever it is. so they don't put out the video. So there's something like, I remember the stats from Forrester, but if you put out a video, you're 500 times or 500%, I don't know if it's 500% or 500 times more likely to get to the top of Google just because of the volume of videos out there. So there's
right.
much less videos than there are web pages. So.
Right. Because many folks are going to say that Google is kind of a tapped out market, where in terms of any search term that's out there, most people have already optimized for it, and there's just a ton of stuff out there already.
There's so much competition. I've noticed my traffic numbers. They're on the decline just because there's just so much competition. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of competition. So the number one tip that I would have to give out there is just to search. First of all, do the search that you're trying to rank for. Look at the content, and the first thing you want to start off with is making sure that you have content that's better than the content that's out there. So if the number one thing is a 25 tips post, then put out a 50 tips post. Because
right.
that's what people are going to link to. When you create the best resource out there, people are going to link to that naturally, and Google will pick and share that on social media. Google will pick up on all of these things.
Right. What I think I heard you hint at right there is if you want to rise to number one on a search term, sometimes it helps to adjust the search term very slightly. That means you may make it a little more long tail, or you may make it slightly more niche, but the idea is you just change the search term very slightly, and suddenly you're number one in the sea.
Well, definitely going for a longer tail keyword would make it easier for you to rank for a term.
Right.
But Google's bought up a few different companies that, so basically, even if the wording is slightly different, you can still rank for different terms. What I was trying to say is just that you want to start with the best by creating the best possible content on the topic that you're covering.
Right.
And that'll help you get to the top, because ultimately Google wants to serve up the best info. So if you start by giving them the best info, then you've got a much better chance than if you're just trying to get some mediocre content to the top by link building and all the other tactics that you could use. But definitely getting the best content, and then getting that best content as video or that has video integrated as well, you're going to be head and shoulders above everyone else, and just those two tactics should get you into the top 10
yeah.
for most terms.
Right. I'd also like to point out that even outside of YouTube, some folks who are in Google, rather than open up a separate tab or go all the way to YouTube, are just going to click on the videos option on your search results on Google. So that's another place that you can get ranked.
There you go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, right now, now results may vary depending on time of day, day of week, and how far in the future you're listening to this. Many folks in the online marketing space know that there's been a virus going around, and what it does is it infects WordPress websites especially, and if somebody views that WordPress website on a desktop browser, it's fine. But if they look at it from a mobile browser or a tablet, it automatically redirects them one time to a porn site.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yep. And since the porn site that usually gets involved is called Badoink, Badoink, I found out that a lot of
okay.
people were searching for how to fix the Badoink virus. So right
okay.
now, for the phrase Badoink virus, a video that I filmed that is posted on my website is number one on that search term.
Oh, awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. Yes.
It's probably getting you a bunch of traffic.
Yeah, it certainly has helped. We have gotten some inquiries on that video specifically, and we've also gotten videos on we've also gotten a number of clients on a video I created 2 years ago on how to customize the look and feel of your order form on the One Shopping Cart platform. That has been a huge moneymaker for us, and I was told at the time by my business coach, don't do that video, it'll mess up your brand. But meanwhile, I'm getting clients off it, so I'll take money over advice any day.
There you go.
So, right.
Nice.
Now, since you and I both know that YouTube is a powerful search engine, and it's also a powerful search marketing optimization tool, what formula do you have for how you configure the YouTube posting, because there's a magic to it. I have my own formula, but I know you have one as well. If you want to give us, I don't know if you can reveal the whole thing or if you want to give us some clues or what have you, in terms of how you position that YouTube video, how you language things to help it rank in search engines.
Okay, well, one thing I do is I go to the Google Keyword Planner tool. It used to be called the Google Keyword Tool. It's called the Keyword Planner Tool.
Of course.
You'll need an AdWords account for that, and I think, but it's free. You don't need to spend any money to use it. And I would just recommend putting your keywords into there and seeing what a few different variations of those, what they bring in terms of search volume. And you want to go after, and sometimes just using that tool will just make it clear which keywords are going to bring the most traffic, and then optimize for those keywords. And then with a bunch of related terms, you want to make sure that you're maxing out the tags that you use for your video. So I would sort the keywords from highest to lowest, and then use those high volume keywords that are relevant, of course, as tags for the video.
Okay.
So,
right.
Okay. So
right,
that's
right.
Definitely get the highest volume keyword in your title and in your description. And then those other medium volume keywords, you want to make sure that have high relevance, maybe the longer tail keywords, get those in your tags and in the description as well if you can.
Right. See, when I see a well-optimized YouTube video, sometimes it feels like it's using the same key phrase three or four times, and that's the magic. Within YouTube, as of this recording anyway, it is still possible to use keyword density very easily as a way of ranking your video. Now, I imagine at some point that may change, but a lot of what we used to do to be able to rank websites on Google is still quite alive and well with YouTube. I definitely do not recommend blatant keyword stuffing, but YouTube is a very simple search engine, and it's a very simple search engine marketing tool.
Yeah, I mean, compared to Google's algorithm, which has I don't know how many different signals, gaming YouTube's a lot easier.
Yes.
So I would just add in there, don't forget to optimize with annotations, and get a link in there to your landing page or whatever page you're optimizing for. Get that in the first sentence of your description, so that's above the fold, because even though you can have up to 5,000 characters in your description for a video, you can only see the first sentence or two. So if you have a link that you want people to visit, don't put it down at the bottom of your description. Keep it up at the top.
Yeah, that's also one of my techniques. And basically, the way you do it, the way I do it, are pretty much the same thing. And for our listeners, just so you know, Garen and I did not rehearse this. We did not compare answers while we were in the green room before we turned this on. That just goes to show that getting ranked on YouTube and using YouTube as a search engine marketing tool is not difficult at all. Remember also that YouTube is also a social media marketing tool because it has comments. And when you share YouTube videos on other social media, they tend to be pretty engaging. Now, what do you have to say about Google Images and how Google Images can contribute to your search engine optimization?
Especially if you're using WordPress, you know, it's a great tool. So one thing I'd recommend is if you're using someone else's image, make sure, or just basically make sure you use high quality images. So if you're going to use an image, you can search based on that image. So you can go over to Google Images and drop your image in there. And then from that, you can pick out a higher resolution version of an image if you're using a copyright-free image. So really just make sure you're using the best definition possible image. You know, it's worth paying for good quality images. So when I search for terms like get more Twitter followers and stuff like that, then I notice that when I do a Google image search, there's a bunch of, like my graphic that I created for that is being used, and it's listed a bunch of different times in Google Images, the one that I created for my article. And I've noticed just by digging into my Google Analytics that images do bring traffic. So it's worth, if you're not a designer yourself, hire one. You know, you can get them for real cheap. You can get people to off of tons of different sites to work for great prices. There's a lot of designers out there, and it's worth investing in. That's what I'd say about
Right.
And make
sure
that I'm very specific about naming my my images. So I make sure that I have the keywords in the file name for that image, and then I make sure that I include a title and an alt tag for that image as well.
So. for our listeners, he just gave you some very powerful advice on how to rank on Google using images. Because think about this for yourself, for those who are listening to our interview here today. How many times have you done Google searches, and then right near the top of page one, there's a section that says images for or images related to, and you end up clicking on some of those images? And if you click on the image and you like it, have you ever visited the web page? So imagine if you can end run number one on Google by using the Google images. And Garen just gave you a formula for that. You make sure to use a good alt tag on the image that has the key phrase in it, something natural but with the key phrase in it, and make sure that you take the 5 seconds to rename the file. Let's say you're optimizing a picture of yourself. I'm gonna make something up here. I'm gonna make up a scenario. Let's say that you did a podcast episode. Let's say that that you are somebody who has a podcast. And you do a podcast where you interview Garen Kilpatrick, and you want to optimize around the fact that you optimized that you interviewed Garen Kilpatrick. Instead, and it just so turns out that you met this gentleman at a networking event, and you have a picture with him that you took at the event. Now, when you upload that picture to your WordPress site to promote your podcast interview with Garen Kilpatrick, now, when you took that picture with your Android or your Samsung or your iPhone or what have you, probably gave it a file name that has a lot of letters and numbers in it that don't mean anything to you but mean something to the device. Now, before you upload that image to your WordPress post, take a second, go to your file editor, rename the file Garen Kilpatrick and put your own name, .png or JPG or whatever it is, then uploaded to your WordPress post, and you have just inserted a searchable key phrase into Google Images. And people who look for Garen Kilpatrick and want to see what kind of thought leader and expert he is may end up getting his expertise from you, which means they are now visiting your webpage.
I've been meaning to get a professional picture done. I just have like selfies I've taken of myself and things like that. I need to really sit down with a professional and have a suit and tie picture done, but that's in the near future, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have had a great interview here, and I know we're within the last 5 minutes. I know time flies and you're having a blast. But what I'd like to do here, first of all, Garen, thank you. And second, turn over the floor for just a minute or two, and I know you and I both talk fast, and sometimes we're even overlapping each other a little bit because this is a topic that we're just both so passionate about, and we hope that our listeners
Absolutely.
Have captured this. And I imagine from that passion, some of our listeners are on the edge of their seat wanting to get to know more about you. You've dropped some great free resources. You've also planted a couple seeds for yourself here. So what I'd like to do is turn the floor over to you for just a couple minutes and give you a chance to nurture those. So anybody wants to get a hold of Garen or learn more about how Garen can help, now's the time. Tell him.
Sure. Thanks very much. The easiest way to find me on social media is on Twitter at my first name, so at Garin. You can find me on there. I'm also on Instagram at Garen as well. You can find me on Facebook. Feel free to connect on there. Garen Kilpatrick is my name, and you can also find everything I'm doing online. I have several different blogs and products in the social media space and the marketing space. I've got them all connected via my personal website, which is Garen, Garin, Kilpatrick, KilPatrick.com. Thank you very much. I've had a blast, Adam. It's been fun, and thanks a lot for having me.
Well, absolutely. And what I want to remind our listeners of here on the Business Creators Radio Show is when you visit our website, every single one of our guest presenters has a profile, and connected to that profile are any and all episodes where they were our guests on Business Creators Radio Show. Within that profile, you get the chance to learn more about them, and you also get links to their social media sites and to their websites. So should you choose for your own reasons to engage with Garen Kilpatrick, should you find yourself not exactly remembering how to spell his name, that's perfectly okay. Just come to Business Creators Radio Show and look him up, and he will be there, and you can find him on your own terms for your own reasons, and I can promise you that Garen will be a great connection for you. So once again, Garen Kilpatrick, thank you so
much
for being with us today. And for everybody
listening,
thank you
so much.
You bet. You bet. Thank you. And for everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and also subscribe to us on iTunes for weekly updates. And remember, every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.